We'll be reading Romans 1, 16 through 17. I am not ashamed of the good news. It is God's power and it will save everyone who believes. It is meant first for the Jews. It is meant also for those who aren't Jews. The good news shows how God made people right with himself. From beginning to end, becoming right with God depends on a person's faith. It is written those who are right with God will live by faith.
Amen. Preach the word, brother.
Good morning. I sure do love you.
Amen.
And I'm glad that you're my family. I think of you often. I'm excited when you're growing in the Lord, and I'm hurt when you're not. Isn't it the same way with our children, really? And when my kids are doing the right thing, I'm so proud of them, and I could pull out pictures and tell you stories all day long. Let me tell you what, when they're not doing the right thing, I'm discouraged. And I'm hurting. And this morning we're not going to go into Romans chapter 7, although I got my sermon right here, don't want you to think I'm not prepared. I've had a struggle with sin this week, and I want to tell you about it. Because the Lord was pulling at my heartstrings, so I wrote a sermon during the last song. Right here on the back. It could be short. Brother Carl prompted, and I want to give great thanks to God for moving in Carl's heart to prompt my thinking. Because Carl addressed the very issue that I've struggled with this week. I feel that way as a preacher. I feel like a mother hen. I love y'all and I'm so proud of you, but when you're not doing the right things, man, I'm hurt. I look around and I see some of us not trying. I see some of us riding the fence. I see some of us in open rebellion to God. Sitting around like everything's fine, trying to pull off this great costume party, and it just grieves my heart. Well, how do you know whether or not that you ought to go talk to somebody about something, or whether you ought to give them a little bit of time to see if they can get it on their own, you know, because sometimes you can't, just like with my children, I can't tell them every move to make. Now, I'm good at trying, but my wife goes, Dan, give them some space. You know, I jump right in there and I'll give them directions so they can't possibly fail. Isn't that right, Colton? He's grinning like a possum. But I have to step back and I have to let them fall a little bit sometimes so that they can learn. Now, how do you apply that to Christianity? Is that a biblical Christian thought? Well, I know that the adverse to that is a biblical Christian thought, but there's a principle in there somewhere where you give somebody enough space to try to grow on their own. And when they don't, when you put off going and talking to somebody, you know what? It can build anger, just like Carl was mentioning. And I want to tell you the truth, church. It can lead to resentment because I've had some resentment in my heart this week toward other brothers and sisters in Christ. God sent a messenger here today to tell me and remind me of my place as a Christian. focus on God. Have you ever been there, church? Have you been so consumed by someone else in the brotherhood that you couldn't see God? Now, that's not necessarily their fault. My prayer to God during the Lord's Supper is that I would condition my heart and realize that it's my responsibility to keep my heart pure and clean before God. Amen? With that in mind, I'd like to read to you, if you have your scriptures. Well, I want to start out kind of where Carl started. That's what I want to do. I'm sitting here looking at a few scratch notes, so you have to bear with me. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, we're talking about the Lord's Supper and the fact that, you know, the Lord's Supper to us is a reminder of what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. That He gave His life for us. And I think about the fact that that represents love to us. And I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. It says that the second part of the verse there says that love does not take into account a wrong suffered. The other version says that it keeps no record of wrong. You know what? Sometimes, church, I keep a record. I don't mean to, and I don't want to, but I end up doing it. Are you like, do you ever struggle with that? Man, I wish I just take my mind and put it in the washing machine, put some Tide in there and wash it out. Because sometimes my mind say, oh, I remember they did this. I remember that they did that. You know what? And I say, okay, well, I got to put that aside, but I keep this internal struggle. That's next week's sermon if I ever get to Romans chapter 7 and those where we're the conflict of the natures, you know? But I got that boiling inside of me. And here, Paul says that love does not keep a record of wrong. Now, how do you keep from keeping a record of wrong? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18. Here's how to do it. And here's what I've not been doing. And here's what I'm going to start doing. Because what I was doing was I was sitting there in the pew and I had all this stuff built up that I should have went and talked to a brother or a sister or whoever it was in Christ about, but I had neglected. I thought, well, give them a little bit of time, give them a little bit of time, and that snowballs, you know, like you roll a snowball downhill. You ever? How many people roll a snowball, right? If you're going to make a snowman, you start rolling and it gets bigger and bigger. So I'm sitting here with this great big ball rolled up around my neck, and here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, it says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. I procrastinated to the point that I did just what Carl was talking about. At first, I was just like, well, a little time. This brother, sister, you know, they get better. Then I waited longer. Then I got kind of irritated. Well, how could they do this? Now, how many do you do that? Now, that ain't right. And I'm confessing. This is a big confessional, but it's according to the Scripture. So then, what was I doing? I was looking down my nose. Well, how dare they do that? How could they not know better? How could they, and I was forgetting about the I. Isn't that right? Don't we get to doing that? If a brother or sister sins, we're supposed to go to them in private and show them the error of their way. That's what love does, and if you do that, you don't keep a record wrong because you resolve the issue on a daily basis. Isn't that good stuff? That's what I expect from you, so why not do it to you? Because I forget. I get hoodwinked by the devil. He just kind of cons me in. He says, hey, you know, it's just a little thing here. Let it go. You You don't need to go talk to them. Just let it go. It'll be all right.
Okay.
I mean, I really feel ashamed that sometimes Satan gets into my thinking that way. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Obviously, if you're listening on the internet, there's no outline for this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and following says, "Do not judge, so that you will be not judged." He says, "For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it's going to be measured to you." Why do you look, verse 3, why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Now, I'll tell you what, I got to tell you, church, that's one of the most interesting thing in the world to me, because I can just visualize a guy with a log. How many of you have fireplaces? Just picture a 2-foot log about this big around sticking out of some guy's eye. "Hey, how's it going?" "Oh, you got a little bit of sawdust in your eye, brother." I mean, that's just hilarious to me, but you know what? It's not funny at all, because we end up doing that sometimes, don't we, church? I'm telling you what, that was a part of my dilemma. Satan was sitting there hoodwinking me into the idea that somehow I was better than somebody else. Shame on the very thought that would ever conclude that. There ain't nobody better than anybody else. We are all servants of Christ, right? Now, if I love you, I'm going to come and talk to you. If I don't love you... Now we're going to get serious. If I don't love you, I'm not going to come to you. Oh, they'll figure it out on their own. The Bible says each man is to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, see, we can even manipulate Scripture to say what it's not saying. God will take care of it. God created them. God, but you know what? God tells us if you got an issue with somebody, go and talk to them about it. And you know where that begins? Right in Matthew chapter 7, realizing that you're not better than anybody else, and to humble yourself, to check your own scorecard, right? That's what I was praying to God. God, I was praying during the Lord's Supper, "Lord, please condition my heart. Help me to be like you. I'm having trouble focusing on worship. Get my mind out of the gutter and get my mind centered on you." And you know what popped into my mind? You're keeping track of wrongs. You waited so long. You procrastinated to the point that you built up resentment. And it even got to anger. Oh, shame on us. Shame on me. But you know what? I love my boys. They can tell you that, because if you love somebody, you discipline them, right? Hebrews chapter 13. My boys have exercised. They have been at the end of great, great discipline. You remember the board that I broke over your hiney? That was my fault. It was a weak board, too. So I wasn't really just being... Well, I'm not going to say more about that. I love these boys, and when they goof up, I'm not just going to sit back and say, "Man, I sure hope they grow up and get it right." I hope those elders go and talk to him, because that's their job. You heard that? I hope their mama sits them down and talks to them. Charity, I hope you do that. Because I got the grass to mow. No, if I love them, I go and set them down in an air of love. Not in an air of, "You did this, 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 and this, and nee, 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 nee." But to know that I love you. And you know what? When you love people, they know it. You don't even got to say it. It just flows out of you from who you are. But I set them down and say, I love you. And I care so deeply for you. And you know what? You have so many good qualities. I recognize your value in the Lord. But there's something I got to talk to you about. I got to share this with you. And you know what? If I just sit down and say, you need to, I'm not taking into the account that I could be wrong. What if what I thought was not true? And then I sit down and say, you. And they go, but I didn't do that. Then you go, oh. I've done that. Have you done that? Have you ever said something to somebody and then come find out you're totally wrong? I've done that. And I felt like a blooming idiot. I have practiced being a blooming idiot. I want you to know. It's not just a thing you get down at the roadhouse that they serve you before the meal. The blooming thing. I'm a blooming idiot sometimes. I have to understand that. I have to humble myself. And I have to be willing to show Christian love to you as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now I want you to know I failed at that at some degree. I want to love you so much I don't want you to remotely feel any adversity for me. Is there a problem with that, church? Yes. Because if you're in sin, you need to feel some adversity in love, right? If you think that I'm struggling, I want to invite you to come and talk to me. Because church, if we don't get it right, I'm going to miss being on the streets of glory. Right? You guys will be having a barbecue on the golden streets of glory and I won't be there. It doesn't get any worse than that. Well, how much more so is it in my mind that if I don't share with something with you? I think that's pretty close to the end of my notes. Let me wrap up by saying this. The really bad thing about that I found this morning was I was sitting there trying to worship and I couldn't. I don't know about you, but I have a thirst for worship. And it's not a thirst about what I feel, but it's a thirst to cry out and to praise God. That's my thirst. And I was sitting there, I was just really torn up inside because I had this block going on in my mind. Church, I want to ask you something. Is there anything right now blocking your worship to God? If there is, I pray to God that you will not leave this auditorium this morning before you make it right. Because if you're missing out on the worship and the praise of God, you're missing out on the greatest single thing I can think of. God returned to me the joy of my salvation. He made my heart happy in my prayer because He told me that He loved me. Word. What's your need this morning? Do you have an issue with a brother or sister in Christ? The Bible says to leave your sacrifice at the altar and go make it right. If you love one of the Christians here and you see them in sin, please go to them. Now that kind of gets us to the second part of the equation. You have to be go-to-itable. Is that a word? It ought to be. Go-to-itable. You have to be welcoming to someone that would come and talk to you. And you know what? We're not always that way. It's hard sometimes when somebody comes to you. It's hard to maintain humility and understand their love and kindness because sometimes we feel attacked. Church, we don't attack each other. We love each other. Thank goodness we have the Lord's Supper this morning. Because my heart feels better. Because God has given us the words of life. We just heed them and pay attention to them. As we close, I'm going to ask you to be praying for me this week that I can do a better job of being what God wants me to be. And I'll be praying for you too. We're going to sing this song of invitation, and as normal, our shepherds are going to come down front. And you know what? If you've had a struggle, or if you're having a struggle, church, this is the day to get it right. This is the hour to make a change. Don't miss the joy of your salvation as we stand and as we sing.